Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
And he destroys this one to right center field. Alonso has tied the game. Two-run home runs in the inning. And it didn't work out. Juan Soto, first pitch base hit, and just like that, the Mets take the lead.
They got him tonight. I think it's, you know, you think about the guys that run out there. It goes Nimmo, really good player, to Lindor, who gets him. You know, then Soto kind of flips one in softly, and then boom, Pete Alonso hits a slider that's down and away and hits it over the fence. So those are really good hitters. They've done that to a lot of people. Fastball jumping out of his hands, A, and B, I think the split was good. I mean, he threw some good ones. And then in the six, I think that was the first time he's had six ups this year. I think his most was five, and I think right around 70 pitches. So he was cruising right there for the fifth.
Any loss is disappointing, especially, you know, tonight was a battle back and forth like that. At bats were pretty good, you know, against some good pitching, and that one big inning was awesome. It was a battle. It's baseball.
It stings, there's no doubt. It feels the same way as the one we lost in Tampa. You know, the eight-run thing is the same feeling. It doesn't feel good. I think you constantly go back to your preparation, your process. Did we do everything right? Did we get the guys in the right spot?
That's Tony Manzalino, Orioles interim skipper. That was last night after the Birds lose a tough one. And that was a tough out, man, because they got the momentum rolling in their favor. They had won three in a row, swept the Braves. Got a brilliant start for Brandon Young, and we heard Manzalino talking about him commanding the zone. The velo was up a couple miles. He threw 96 miles an hour last night. Had the immaculate inning, first one by an Orioles since Kevin Gausman, going back to 2018. But Ryan O'Hearn feeling the sting. He had the big double to put the Orioles back ahead after the Mets had taken that two-one lead. And then it just all kind of imploded on Baker, who's been great this year. I mean, Baker made the team coming out of Sarasota in large part due to the fact that Kittredge was hurt. Andrew Kittredge, who's now back and pitched last night. Batista was dealing in a big way. But Brian Baker has been one of the more reliable guys, a guy that we talked about as a possible all-star a few weeks ago. Kind of imploded. There was no one warming up in the bullpen as the Mets had that uprising. And you heard Alonso, Kevin Brown Massett on the call as Lindor and Alonso go deep, two-run homers, tie the game. But it's kicking short ones because you're chipping away. You're playing better. We talked about yesterday morning, 23-15 since the Fenway game two, and you really haven't gained any ground. You got to within six a couple weeks back. Teams like Cleveland, Boston, Kansas City, Minnesota have struggled. You're not catching them. You're just kind of, you're on the treadmill. At least on a treadmill, you're burning stuff. You're accomplishing goals. This is more like you're treading water. You're trying not to drown for the Birds. So in a season of frustrating losses, and Tony Manzalino mentioned the 8-0 blown lead against Tampa a few weeks back, game in which Trevor Rogers pitched, got squeezed. I mean, we don't want to harken back on that one. But here they are again, looking victory in the face, and all of a sudden they look in the mirror, and it's an ugly case of defeat. 10 games under 500. Now you try to win tonight, and even the series, weather permitting. 7:05 because it's on ESPN. By the way, just if you're trying to get to the playoffs, and Gunnar said before the game, hey, man, we're going to chip away and eke in, and maybe we can squeeze into that third wild card. I'll say it. Want it to happen. I'd love to buy a 2025 Oriole postseason hat. Actually, I've made a moratorium on that. The next one I'm buying better have World Series on it because I've got like 50 of those. But you get the point. I'd love for them to get to the postseason because then the air quotes, anything can happen. But you can't afford to lose these games. And then in the ninth inning against Brazoban, I'm not diminishing this guy. You know, he's a Major League Baseball player. But you got a guy on second, Jackson Holliday, with wheels. Westberg, K. Gunner, pop out. Ben O'Hearn, hard grounder, but ground ball nonetheless. And don't even get the guy in the scoring position. And I get it. You got your thumpers up there. You're not giving away. And I agree with it. You're not bunting.
Right.
Because Westbrook can get a two-run homer or hit one in the gap, and who knows where it goes from there. But he did. So situational hitting, which the Orioles have gotten better at. Hey, they were 4-for-10 last night. In the ninth inning, though, Rockabacco wrote about this on Masson this morning. I mean, they're terrible in the ninth inning. The batting average and production, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they're one of the worst teams in baseball and come from behind wins. But that was a painful one. And we look at this, half joking. You're Mike Elias with every passing loss. Available.
Right.
No doubt.
Available. Oh, we just lost. Available. And you know the free agent guys are certainly going to be on the table. And unfortunately, Ryan O'Hearn, who just made the All-Star team, is going to be one of them. Cedric Mullins. We know the guys. But this faint hope, Nolan, you can get in here on this one as well. To me, it's been faint for a while. But a loss last night. Now, if they win the next two games, and who knows what Cleveland or we get into this absolutes after one game in series. And even I made the mandate to myself. Can't judge until series are over. It's not football. You lose one game, you stew for a week. Baseball, you look at the series in totality. But if you're trying to win this series, that one was one that slipped away. And it was painful. And the final out's recorded, and you're sitting there going, what the hell happened here?
Yeah,
Brandon Young was outstanding, by the way. So tip of the cat to you, kid.
I thought this, I thought when they lost that game, it was like a gut punch. And afterwards, I said to myself, game, set, match. I said, that was a killer. That one, going from 8 to 10. I mean, that was a 2-game swing.
Yep.
I felt like that one, they're done.
But I had hope in the 10th,
yeah,
which was fool's gold.
I think, once Soto, first pitch it might have even been, but leadoff single there to just bring home Lindor, that was the moment for me, even though the heartbreak of the 8th with the back-to-back two-run homers. That in the 10th there, just the instant, all right, they're up. That, it felt like it was over. Even though you knew the Orioles still had a chance to bat, based on the way things went quietly in the 9th, you just kind of knew. I was like, this is it. And as heartbreaking as it is, as frustrating as it is, I don't even know if I could say that that's a top 5 heartbreaking loss for the Orioles this year. We've been through this way too many times, which is why after a sweep of the Braves over the weekend, call it fool's gold, call it whatever you want, but how many times this year have we had a series like that or a stretch like that where you're like, all right, they opened the door. They're going to assert themselves. They're going to re-enter the party, whatever you want to say. This is it. This is the start of something. And almost instantly, every time they step on the rake, it comes up, it whacks them in the face, and it's the same thing every time. Realistically speaking, even though they swept the Braves, you probably had to go 5-1 or 6-0 the rest of this week heading into the All-Star break to actually feel like we got a legit shot coming out in the second half. Well, lefty on the mound, it's not happening.
Peterson not tonight. Yeah. And look, you talk about stepping on the rake. What's that, Foghorn Leghorn? Anyone always stepped on the rake?
I was thinking Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob or Barney Rubble. Somebody always ran into it. Usually someone of the hapless persuasion, with all due respect to Barney Rubble, because I thought he was a cool character. Back on the Flintstones. They moved to within a half a game of the Indians, or Guardians, excuse me, after Sunday. Now they're 2 games, because Cleveland's won 2 in a row, and I mean, you got to start to percolate. And everyone they're chasing. Boston's won 5 in a row. Texas is, they're 5-5. They won last night. Kansas City's now won 3 straight. Minnesota won last night. They're 5-5. Angels are now in Scuffle City, but the Orioles are 3.5 games behind them. There's all these teams you're chasing that are like them. They go through these periods of, all right, we got it. And Mike Bordick said last night, Nolan, you were there on BBT. Everybody, there are a lot of teams that think like the Orioles that were still kind of in it.
Right.
And then reality strikes them in the face. And last night, Laureano getting picked off at third. I mean, come on. I mean, how many base running gaffes? And he's been brilliant. Look, this guy's been a stud. Not going to nitpick. But you ran yourself out of an inning there. You're in scoring position. It's just there are these little things they do. Now, to their credit, that 10th inning for the Mets, they could have blown that thing wide open. And the Orioles managed to navigate that, only giving up that one run. But I'm going to disagree, Nolan, to a certain extent, because that's the most recent loss. So that one, that could have been a four-game winning streak. Now you're trying to win the series tonight. Now you got to win the next two. Weather's going to suck tonight. Got a day game tomorrow. It's just, it's Sagano's pitching, who's been brutal.
Yeah, the recency, that's, I guess, the whole point is that, sure, it's brutal until what, this weekend? They lose in heartbreaking fashion at least one of these games against the, it's going to happen.
Marlins have won 11 straight road games, by the way.
Whoa.
Yeah, so let that sink in.
It's going to happen. There's going to be at least a handful more of these kinds of losses this year. It's just who this team is. I'm sorry, I can't put it ahead of a 24-2 blowout against the Reds. I can't put it ahead of the 8-run debacle against the Rays a couple weeks ago. Even the game that got Hyde fired, where they had a billion hits but couldn't score a run. I mean, just there has been so many of these games, and I'm forgetting probably half a dozen more.
Well, they've got, they got 50 of them. That was their 50th loss last year.
I'd say at least 10 of them have been of this variety.
So are they back? Or are we revisiting this one?
Not back today. Tomorrow, different story.
How about Baker last night? He throws 11 strikes out of 15 pitches. Didn't get an out and had four hits and four runs.
Yeah, who had been outstanding?
No doubt. No doubt.
And everyone, Manzolino, was like, hey, they were on him. And I'll disagree with old Manzo there. That was a hanging slider to Alonso. It wasn't deep in the corner, and he just, I mean, that thing was belt level. It's like, please, a home run derby level slider for old Pete Alonso. But anyway, Orioles lose 7-6, 10 innings. They're back to 10 games under 500. They've been on this 12-9 game kind of, we're in it, we're not. Right now, they're not. Quite frankly, you haven't been. But if they win the next two games, then we're back on the bandwagon. So it all depends on what happens tonight at 7:05. You want to get an event, you can at 410-583-1057. We're 2 weeks from today. Training camp 2025.
Yeah.
2 weeks from the first official practice, right?
Yep. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Over to the media, o'clock. And then the fans, you can go and check out the Raven sent out a press release and read about it and get some free tickets. Now, what's this construction looking like? Because the old Bobster's actually trying to get out there one day.
Construction, Bob, the problem with the construction, if you're on the practice fields looking at the building, you know, like where the players go in and all that.
Harbs does his press conference and all that.
Yeah, they don't do that. That's all under construction.
Oh.
They're cool. Because remember when the Ravens on the report card that the players responded to, like, I guess they didn't like the locker room. So the bigger locker room, they're changing a lot of stuff in that building.
Really?
And let me just say this, Bob, the parking there must be 300 construction workers out there because there is no parking whatsoever.
So how's that going to work in 2 weeks?
Well, what they did, because they had some season ticket holders come into like mini camps and stuff, they bussed them in. They parked over and then had these buses come over.
How's the media?
Oh, you know where, like, you make that, the roundabout type thing, you know, where you go to go out?
Yeah.
You park it on right there in that roundabout area. You know, like where Bisciotti's car spot is.
I'll park right next to him then.
Basically, you are. You are. But they're supposed to be done, you know, by the start of training camp. We'll see.
All right. We'll come back. Take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. As the show progresses, we're going to talk to Cordell Woodland, top of the hour, about the Orioles and Ravens. We're going to break down some more year two guys.
Yep.
Got Tez Walker. We know. Nate Wiggins, hey, expectations extremely high, but maybe Tez Walker could get in. And Bill Barnwell, I don't know if you guys saw this or ladies listening, rated the top Audrey offense in the NFL by running back, quarterback, skill positions.
Mm-hmm.
Think you'll be surprised where he has the Ravens. You'll be surprised, so stick around. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan. Orioles lose last night. We're all kind of pissed here on the fan.